Turn with me to the 7th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. I've often hit upon knowledge and wisdom, but I never did really research it, you know, to any extent. But I found that'd take a year to preach knowledge and wisdom as the Bible describes it. But I'd like to just kind of touch on it again this morning. 12th verse of this 7th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes said, "For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it." And we're told in the last days, in our day, that's where we're at, that knowledge is going to increase. And I've seen that. In my years, I have really seen that. In every area. In all the things that are about us, we've come a long way in knowledge. And I've seen it go from airplanes first coming in, you know, really getting to fly, to them going to the moon. Now they've got a space station up there. And now we've got computers that do a lot of our thinking. That deal on TV this week, talking about children in this day, that they have lost the ability to write because they're just always going back to some type of computer and using it, and you can't write. But more than that, in our day, we have seen a great increase in the knowledge of the Bible. It has exploded. And there's more and more knowledge. But listen, that knowledge is man's damnation. Knowledge is the very thing that the devil tempted Eve with in the Garden of Eden in the very beginning. You go ahead and eat of that fruit, and you'll know both good and evil. And you'll be as smart as God. Well, things hadn't changed. Man is still trying to figure out where he come from. He's gonna get rid of the Word of God and turn to his own knowledge and wisdom. Turn with me now to the book of Proverbs. I'd like to read the 2nd chapter. Go back in the first one first, and let's just pick out verse 2 here. In verse 7, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Well, there's knowledge and there's knowledge. But the most perfect knowledge is that of God. Well, man has always had that knowledge. Isn't that something? They know where's God. It's inherent in him to know that there's a God. Even all the creation testifies that there is a God. But there is a more perfect knowledge of God. And that knowledge is to believe God. Verse 20, he said, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates and in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now, that simplicity doesn't mean anything like we think today. I think it'd be a better term, stupidity. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Well, that seems to be a contradiction there, doesn't it? But in our day, knowledge has become more and more important to people. Companies, they won't hardly hire a man today unless he's got some kind of higher education. If you don't go to college for any other reason, just get some title behind your name to where they'll think you're smart. You don't necessarily have to be so smart. But knowledge is a priority in our day. But true knowledge is what man hates. That knowledge of who God is and who man is. He hates that. Because his meets and bounds are set. And he understands that. If you don't believe it, you just listen to people. If something happens to somebody, say, well, it's just his time. And they have a knowledge of this. But they want to put it away with other knowledge. And the busier man gets at acquiring worldly knowledge, the more he puts God away and the harder his heart gets, because the more he is puffed up. Knowledge puffeth up. But we lack knowledge. The other kind. And we lack knowledge of the right kind. Chapter 2, I'd like to read this. It said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now, this is a little different kind of knowledge here, you understand. It's a knowledge of who God is. He just said, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Well, I thought on this just a little bit too. We talked about faith. And the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's saying the same thing here. It's not dealing with faith necessarily. But it's dealing with the knowledge of God. He said, for the Lord giveth wisdom. And out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You understand that it'd be a highway built up and all the stones removed. You could get, it'd be a smooth road. And if on always in things of this world, it may not be smooth. But if you follow this knowledge and this wisdom, then the stones will be removed. Your soul will be at rest. He said, then shalt thou understand righteousness. He said, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. James said, thou believest there's a God, thou doest well. But they believe there's a God without understanding. He said, deliver thee from the way of evil man, of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. This is the other knowledge he's talking about now. He's going to talk about both of these knowledges and both kinds of wisdom. He said, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose days are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, some would say he's talking about a loose woman here. I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that other kind of knowledge. It'll lead you down that stony road. And the more you get of it, the more you want of it, because it puffs up. Man is lifted up in his own pride and in his own knowledge. And the knowledge of God will do exactly the opposite, though. It'll cut man down and see who he is. And then it will lift him up. He said, which forsake the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. This talking about that knowledge. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead, walking among the graves. And if I am pleasure in, because of their own knowledge. He said, none that goeth unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. That's talking about the promised land there. The promised land, where not true knowledge is. He said, but the wicked shall be cut off from earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, I thought on this knowledge, and I don't think we can ever know in this life knowledge to its full extent or its perfection. Right. We can grow in knowledge, and we're taught to grow in knowledge. And that knowledge he's talking about is knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. That perfect knowledge is to believe that God is and that he's a reward of him them that diligently seek him. That's perfect knowledge. Believe in the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You understand the Holy Ghost, that's what's going to teach a man all things. Not the things of the world, but the things of God Himself. When we open up this Word, it's God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in that same Word is knowledge to the saving of man's soul. But I don't think we can ever come to the full perfection of the knowledge of God in this life. So therefore, we must continue to seek God's face that we might have knowledge of Him. First Corinthians, the 13th chapter, we'll go there and finish this up there. I guess we begin here in verse 8. This has to do with, I don't believe man can come to the full knowledge, perfect knowledge. But one day we will come to perfect knowledge. And it'll all be by the teaching of the Holy Ghost. It won't be through a long study and reading many books and doing that sort of thing. We need to read the Word. I just mentioned that. We need to dwell upon it and look into it. But listen, the teacher, he is the Holy Ghost. All the religious people of this world that deal with the Bible read. And they think they have come to a full understanding. They've even figured out that God don't know what He's talking about. You don't need to do it that way. Just listen to us. We're living in modern times. Oh, that's Old Testament stuff. Just on and on. Trying to convince themselves and convince us that they have knowledge. And they do. I give them credit for it. They have plenty of it. But it's not the perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, it said, charity never faileth, or love never faileth. Now that's the first thing, that's the first knowledge that man has to have. He first loved us. And it never fails. It'll grow. And it'll multiply. And it'll produce more knowledge. He said, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And where there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know what kind of knowledge he's talking about here, though? The knowledge of this world. That kind of knowledge is going to fail. It'll vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Well, we don't know everything, do we? But it keeps coming. It keeps coming. He said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Come unto a different knowledge and a different understanding, and have come full grown to understand that God is who He says He is. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Well, so we must keep on studying, huh? But study in proper book where knowledge is, where wisdom is, and where knowledge is preserved. That knowledge. You understand the Holy Spirit, He doesn't quit teaching. He keeps on teaching, and that's the preservation of the saints, is that He keeps on teaching. And we grow in grace and in knowledge by reading and the teaching of the Holy Ghost. So we grow in that knowledge. He said, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We're going to come to the full knowledge. He said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love. I really prefer love here instead of charity. You know, love produces charity. But I believe love is a much stronger word than charity, especially in our day, since charity has been so misused. It's the love of Christ that constrains us and causes us to be charitable. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You know what brings the knowledge of God? Love of Christ. It goes right down to that. Nothing else. Unless that love come upon us, unless we see and have the knowledge of that love, then we won't see any further. We'll search and search and search and read every old book out there and still won't have any knowledge. Matter of fact, it'll be taken away. It's going to be done away with. Put down. It'll be burned up with this old world. You know what's going to stand? The Word of God and the love of God that causes men to come unto Him and gives them knowledge and wisdom and assurance of their faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only lasting thing.
I think that's what Paul was talking about in the beginning of the 13th chapter when he said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, our love, what is good? What's good for? It's just sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Even have the gift of prophecy and have not love, what has it accomplished? Remember in Matthew chapter 7, there's going to be many, he said, come before the Lord, have we not prophesied?
In thy name.
Yeah. But what is Christ going to say? Well, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Can you imagine that? It scares you. It ought to cause us to do a little bit of, you know, soul searching. They'll bestow all my goods on the poor. Give my body to be burned. What is it profited if we have not charity? But we will know it is the Word of God. Books are useful if they be used rightly. Knowledge is useful if it be used rightly. David, how far do you think you would get in that bioscience if you didn't study it? Well, I'm going to be a bioscientist. Couldn't get very far, could you? So it is good. If it be used rightly. And even books that are written concerning the Word of God is good if they're good books. But then we have the admonition of the making of books, there's no end. And much study is a weariness to the flesh. But hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. No matter what books we read, we ought to read them to that end. And ultimately, it doesn't matter what book you read, it all is going to have to come back to this one book right here. It's good. Books have been very helpful, especially books and sermons, you know, things of that nature. They've been very helpful down through the years. I'm thankful for them. But what did people do before they had all those books? I'm thankful we have Bibles today. Complete whole Bibles. But when it comes right down to it, you see, most of this world, the most of the time that this world has stood, by far, the most of the time did people have Bibles? Isn't that amazing? At least somebody said the other day that this was a, 400 or 450, I don't know, of the anniversary of the King James Bible. It wasn't too much before that the first Bible period was printed. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying this, that in every age, it finally comes down to that which God supplies by the Spirit. But it also comes down to this, the more knowledge that we have, then what? The more we're held accountable. Because my Bible says, speaking of those years before, it says, in these, the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now he commandeth all men to repent and believe the gospel. Does that mean that before Christ, men were excused out of ignorance? No. It just meant that he didn't require as much from them. And we today, we ought to take this into consideration, how much responsibility we do have because we have this knowledge. What will we do with it?